So we're really excited. We've had an amazing time at the Vineyard Conference, and just some of us are going to share a little bit about what we feel God's been saying.
Hi, good morning. It was on the last night of the National Leaders Conference. In the worship, I asked God for a word for us here at church, and I'm just going to share what I felt he was saying. So I had a picture of this area in church here, and I saw this huge bowl of incense just rising up, and there was just a really awesome sense of God's holiness, but not in a fearful way, just in a wow, this is amazing. And then I began to have a sense of the Ark of the Covenant as well, and the cherubim that was there, and again this incredible sense of God's holiness. So when I came back, I thought I need to look more into what this meant, and so I went on the computer, and to my amazement, I found that this is what comprises the Holy of Holies. In the Bible, it explains how in the temple in Jerusalem there was the outer courts, then there was the inner courts, there was the priest courts, and then there was the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was the bowl of incense and the curtain, and then the Ark of the Covenant. And the amazing thing is that only the high priest could go into this place. And he could only do that once a year and with great, great care. And I just thought, oh, wow, can we go into the Holy of Holies? And I thought, well, I know Jesus is the high priest and we're all priests. And there was these priest courts, and maybe the priest courts are for us. And Jesus goes into the Holy of Holies, and So I then read this verse. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith." And it just blew me away that we can go into the Holy of Holies through the curtain that is his body. And so the ark was God's throne among his people. It was the symbol of his presence and power with them. And his glory appeared above the ark. And it was a place where he met with his people and spoke to them. And then the incense bowl represents prayers going up to the Father. And often we see that as our prayers. But I felt particularly drawn to the fact that actually it's Jesus' prayers rise up at that point, because Jesus is our intercessor. And when we approach the Father, Jesus is interceding for us. And there is no accusation. There is nothing that can stand and stop us coming into the presence because of Jesus's intercession for us. And this is what I felt the Father was saying. I'm not inviting you to the outer courts or even the inner courts of my temple. I'm inviting you into the Holy of Holies, into the place where I am, the most holy place to see my face. This is what Jesus' blood was spilt for, so that you can come close, that you can enter into my holiness and find me there. The place of intimacy and rest. Who will come? Who will come? Who will come? Who will draw near? It's not about how good you are. I've done it. It's just about desire. It's just about the willingness to come just as you are. And I just believe that he is inviting us to come into the Holy of Holies, and for our church to be a place where people can come and come into that holy place.
Okay, so during the worship, I had a picture, and the picture was of dark clouds covering over Headingley Methodist. And then I just saw Jesus come and stand over the building. And as he stood, the dark clouds started to disperse. And then he said, "Bring me my throne." And the angels brought his throne for him, and he established himself above this building. And as he did that, the clouds just kind of started over rolling away, and light and fire started just dispersing from this building. And then it was like shooting stars started falling from his throne all across the building, over people and beyond the building, and over the children and over the youth. And I just felt like God was saying, "I'm establishing my throne here. I'm taking my rightful place. And that you as a people need to come and bring me my throne and give me back my throne." And so as I was pressing, I was reflecting a little bit on what God had been doing in me during the conference. So leading up to the conference, I got massively struck with anxiety. Nottingham's not an easy place for me. It's a really difficult place. It's a place of shame. It's a place of brokenness in my own story. And yet God takes me back. And it was had massive power over me. And on the first night, I just had to admit to Alison and Anne Buck, and I said, look, I need you to pray for me, guys. I'm not happy. I can't even go to this house tonight. And they just prayed for me. And it just made me realize that in my vulnerability and willingness to say how I was feeling, how they could just break the power of darkness over my life. And that although those things don't belong to me anymore, that's not my story anymore. And it was interesting because the whole of the conference was marked by significant leaders admitting the truth of where they were at, fits of rage, depression, anxiety, just coming out saying, this is where I am. And Julian Adams was talking about, you know what, if we want to be a prophetic church that has influence and impact, then we have to go to our place of offense, because our place of offense is where our pride sits, where our self-justification sits. And I was really struck. He said, you know, you can't be spiritually mature if you're still emotionally immature. And you have to go to that place of your immature emotions and let Jesus in. So the other thing was just to say yes to God. Charles Montgomery's wife, she just did a seminar on saying, you know what, let your yes be yes. It's not if this, if that, what if, how, what. It's just yes. Yes. And I trust you, Jesus, with the rest. And the other thing I was struck about is being witnesses to the whole truth, not just a partial truth, but actually that we're credible, we're courageous, and we give a complete truth. And I was reflecting on what it means to be a true witness when I came back. And I was just really aware of, Jesus took me to Revelation 3, and verse 14, he's talking to the church at Laodicea, and he's saying, you know what, you know, you're neither hot nor cold, you think you've done this of yourself, you think you've got here because of how great you are, but actually you're not here because of how great you are, you're here because of me and what I've done. And I really felt that fitted in with the picture of Jesus establishing his throne. And then I was really drawn, because we always think about verse 20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock, if anyone wants to hear my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him. And we talk about it in terms of a sinner coming to repentance and choosing to follow Jesus, but actually he's talking to people who are followers of him. And it says before that, it says, therefore, whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And I just had this thing. And just as Anne was saying about, I thought it was really interesting what God gave her about coming into the Holy of Holies. Often we do not approach the Holy of Holies because we're just so aware of how we fall short, our failures, our wrongdoings, the things we do wrong. And I just felt God was saying, you know what, that stuff, just let me in. Let me in. Let's talk about it. Let me come to the table. Let's discuss this, because I have made you good. I have made you good. And you are all good. And he wants to talk to you about your goodness, not your shortcomings. And so come to the Holy of Holies. Come and let him in. And so I just felt like Jesus was saying, let's be vulnerable, let's be open about our wrongdoings, about the failings and weaknesses, and this is a place of more. This is where we will see the anointing, the presence, the signs and wonders. This is where we'll be an effective witness. So let Jesus in and sit at the table with him. If you are going to see the more of the kingdom, be you, let him in. And I think we're going to dismiss the children. I'm so excited. It's just amazing. So I'm signing up to more. I'm signing up to being more vulnerable and just telling my story as it is, you know, warts and all.
Some of the guys who went to the National Leaders Conference are here. The leadership group in particular, I've asked them to just, if they've got something they'd like to share, if you know who you are, do you want to pop up to the front if you've got something? We're at the National Leaders Conference, and I asked them to just be prepared to come and tell us what they think the Lord's saying to us. We've heard from Liz and Anne already, and now I've got Sally and Anne. Have I got anybody else? I think you're allowed to come. Good. They're all very shy. What's the matter? Okay, this is your place. Come up here. So there are about 1,300 of us. At this conference, packed out Trent Vineyard, and there's most of us were the senior pastors, plus our staff and some key leaders, such as these guys. And there's a mixture of prayer ministry and seminars and worship and all sorts of things. Very interesting take on what's going on at the moment. Share with us quickly what's coming. Come in a bit closer so you're not in front of those speakers.
Just two things for me. Somebody at the conference had...
Who are you?
I'm Sally. Somebody at the conference had a word about churches. I think it was a number of churches where the walls were coming down of the buildings. So you could see the people inside and the walls were just flattened. And I really felt that was for our church. And secondly, I feel like God gave me this scripture, which I feel is for individual people, but it's also for us as a church. It's Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So it's a trusting him where we don't understand and just seeking him first.
Thank you. Stay here.
My husband, Matt, asked me to share something. He can't be here today, but he...
Who are you?
I'm Anne. I'm the other Anne. It's two Annes who went. So Matt went to a seminar, or heard them talking about refugees, and he just felt like we are called to be a welcoming community, and just anyone who comes our way, just welcome them in and practice an attitude of being welcoming rather than passively waiting. And I, during the worship one morning, had a picture of this building, and it was all the good things of the Pied Piper outside in the streets of Headingley. And as we were all gathering here, as we were walking here, we were turning, as we had excitement about coming in, and we were turning to those we were passing on the streets who we knew, who we didn't know, and saying, come to church, come in. As people were walking past just on the pavement, just outside the church, they almost couldn't help themselves. There was something attractive about God's presence in this place, and people were being caught up in it and just coming in because this was the place to be. And I read this morning about Headingley becoming transformed into a place where more and more people are trying to move into the area, and just this sense that there's something bubbling up and that God is at the centre of what is in store for the future of Headingley.
We had, an encouraging word about provision.
Who are you?
I'm Alison. Sorry. Why do I always forget to say our names? It's like, and it was somebody who does know us, who we would trust in terms of hearing what they have to say. But they felt God was saying to us, resources from the east and the north. Which is interesting, given our path for this year with the prospective building and things. So that was a real, real encouragement. Also, a couple of things for me, which I'm sure you will relate to. One is, it's to do with intimacy and a reminder that our heritage is the presence of God and doing what Jesus did and teaching others to do that, and that through which he will change lives, which is what we're about. It was just a real reminder of that Jesus is the centre of all of it. God spoke to me a couple of weeks ago about that I'd slightly rewritten one of the verses. So the one that's where Jesus says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. My version had become, come to me, all you heavy laden, I'll give you a load more to do and get on with it because you should be doing more. So God spoke to me about that, and I'm sure some of you can identify with that. Just coming to him for the intimacy and not, breaking the power of that other version. And also, one of the ladies, the last speaker on the Thursday night, told a story of her Salvation Army, very passionate for God dad, going to a meeting where everybody expected God to do a load of stuff. And so when they were told to stand, they invited the Spirit of God to come, and they were standing there. Everybody else was flat out on the floor, and when they looked around, they were the only ones standing. And I have been that person. When she said that, it's like, I have been that person. The message was, I felt God saying, and God was saying similarly to that person, it's because you need to learn to receive. learn to receive. And I had, you know, we've all been in situations like that and written the script of I'm rubbish, I'm not as spiritual as them, well, God won't use me, all of that. And actually, no, I just need to learn to receive. So that was really helpful for me, just to learn to receive more on loads of different levels.
Hi, I'm Andrew. Did you know that? Lots and lots of stuff going on this week, and sort of, but a couple of days afterwards and having processed stuff a bit, I think a personal thing for me, really, I just feel like God's calling me into sort of deeper prayer, just to make a priority of spending time with him, just to know him more, to enjoy him, to just be kind of changed on the inside by making a real priority for that and being expectant through doing that. So I'm going to be working that out in due course and maybe share some of that with you as it works itself out. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Phil. I was really struck. This kind of came to me a bit like Andrew over this weekend, really, thinking about it. There's a lot of stuff at this conference. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of different kind of ministries, and you'll hear all sorts of different stuff. But for me, there was a thread that ran through all of that, which sort of was summed up in a phrase that the big things in the kingdom start with little movements in the heart. So the kind of common thread for all the exciting stuff that was going on that was very inspiring was it kind of starts in the hearts of individuals. So I suppose I was going to kind of big up the month of prayer and fasting stuff that David put together as well, in saying that in your kind of day-to-day, if you can try and make a bit of space, and this isn't, the image I had wasn't of striving and kind of screwing up your face and really trying hard to make something happen. It was one of sitting back and letting go and just letting God speak and being available to listen. And that's where the kind of most exciting things in the world can start.
Wonderful. Great. Pin them down afterwards and ask them what else. And there was other people. Jerry and Pauline were there, and Josh was there, and some other people. So.